Hello everyone, welcome to North and South Podcasts. This is Tim speaking. As you know, there's been a lot going on in Israel-Palestine of recent. It does get a lot of media attention often when other wars and other things go unnoticed. And there's structural stuff that happens all over the world all the time, like, you know, the amount of people who die due to lack of water, etc. But when we get big events that are unusual, obviously it attracts more attention from the world media. So, for example, 9/11 when it happened in the United States in 2001, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the Hamas attacks on Israel of recent have been in the news a lot. And, of course, the after effects of those kind of events. And there's a few ways that you can look at the Israel-Palestine thing, and I'm going to come back to what I think might be a solution to that a little bit later, because there's a problem with the issue of Hamas, who are regarded as a terrorist group by many, and that is that they were elected in 2006 in elections that took place across the Palestinian territories. And there was a reason why they were elected. And the peace process was not working for the Palestinians and the Palestinian Authority, which is now based in the West Bank and the eastern territories of Palestine, was accused of corruption. It had no real power because it was unable to defend itself or the Palestinian people. It was quite helpless. There's historic reasons for that, which I'll look at in a minute. And then before that, what was one of the reasons for Hamas's success was because in around the year 2000, Israel elected a leader called Ariel Sharon, who was quite a hardliner. Now he'd be considered fairly progressive, which just goes to show how far to the right and how extreme the Israeli government has become. But he visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque and it triggered the Second Intifada, which was this uprising among Palestinians fighting back against Israeli incursions into their land. And since then, we've actually gotten into a worse position within Israel with the election of Netanyahu, who's been around now for the best part of two decades. And again, both Sharon and Netanyahu were elected. They are increasingly extreme now in Israel. Netanyahu has been called anti-democratic. They literally just want to reinforce the apartheid state that treats the Palestinians like second-class citizens. And they'll say that's a response to Palestinian terrorism and the fact that they're not getting anywhere with the peace process. A lot of corruption allegations have been thrown at Netanyahu, and he's at risk of prison. And he knows that if he loses power, his ability to protect himself, a little bit like Donald Trump in the United States, could be affected if he loses power. And they've also gone into coalition with extremist groups who back further ethnic cleansing in the occupied territories and the Palestinian territories, and want to develop a stronger position to then just hold on to any land that they take and take more with further ethnic cleansing in the Palestinian territories as they move forward. Israel doesn't recognise Palestine, although there is quite an active opposition to Netanyahu and the extremism of the current coalition and some of the policies of the current coalition. And that's good to see on the ground that people are unhappy with that kind of government, because it doesn't lead to long-term security for Israel. But from the perspective of these extremists is just take as much land as you can and keep it. Who's going to be able to take it off them? Certainly not the Palestinians, with their very limited access to the ability to defend themselves. So we've got polarisation And although the Palestinian Authority is increasingly non-existent in the West Bank, Hamas, which occupies, or sorry, is the official government, if you like, of the Gaza Strip, they're much more aggressive, and I'll come to that in a little minute. So how did all this start? Obviously, Jewish people were in the area that is now Israel-Palestine thousands of years ago. The Palestinians have been there for thousands of years as well. And we've got this kind of division between people, which has developed over time. We've had, since 1948, ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians from their land. But many Jews will say, and quite rightly so, that after the Holocaust, where are we going to go? Where could we go? Who would accept us? We've faced anti-Semitism wherever we've gone in the past, and they certainly had a point. Initially, Israel was secular, it was democratic, but it was on a constant war footing, and always has been, because it's based on the military occupation of other people's land. And Israel isn't stupid either. And one of the things which you've got to say about Hamas is Hamas doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks, whereas Israel does, and Israel will play it safe and use the correct rhetoric at times to make it look like they're the ones who were hard done by. And I think that there's big lessons to be learned from the Palestinians by that. Although many on the Palestinian side may well say that, well, none of that got us anywhere in the past. And from, say, 1940s to the 1970s, when things started to get really violent, again, many Palestinians will say we didn't get anywhere with those more peaceful methods and protests in those times. Hamas is extremist, and it is an Islamist group, and it won't recognise Israel in any way, shape or form. And that's a big problem, because we are where we are, and Hamas needs to drop that. And again, they'll say, oh, but what's the point? If we do, we won't get anywhere anyway. And again, it's the kind of thing that Israel will say, that if we hand back occupied territories, we'll just be in a weaker position with less land, and there may be incursions towards Israel in the future, then we can't protect ourselves as well. And it's very much an intractable position. Now, I've read a few books on this conflict going back through the years, and it's something that interests me. But it's also something that deeply saddens me, and it's a bit of a sore, and there is a bit of a British guilt about this situation, because the British were involved at the time in allowing an Israeli state to be set up earlier in the 20th century with the Balfour Declaration, etc. And then you always had those tensions in that area, and it was very much when things kicked off, other countries were keen to just leave and let them get on with it. But it's certainly a sad situation on the ground now. The Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, which is run by Fatah, and Mohammed Abbas is their leader, they're weak. They can't provide anything. There's no state recognition or infrastructure. There's lots of corruption. Gaza, where Hamas are, has basically been blockaded for many years. The occupied territories, the Palestinians are fighting a losing battle. Now, Israel and Palestine, we've got a big problem here with the targeting of civilians. And again, Israel tends to play this a lot smarter at times. But Hamas are a PR disaster around the world. And again, they'll say, well, we don't care what people around the world think, because we're the ones who are going through this ethnic cleansing slowly but surely. And, you know, the rest of the world don't care about that. And I've said that a few times now, just to look at that position. But the targeting of civilians by Hamas in these recent attacks is just completely unjustified. And, you know, many people say, oh, military targets, they're the only legitimate targets. Again, you know, people are dying and being killed. People who are often conscripted, or they've joined the army because that's what people do, etc. And we've got to do better than this. We've got to find better ways of doing things. And I'm not naive. I know that when you've got two sides who are arguing from intractable positions, it can be very, very difficult for anyone to know what the best thing to do is. But Hamas targeted kibbutz, peaceful settlements and festivals with people who are dancing, and they're attacking people who are old and young and different types of people. But many of those people would have been sympathetic, the kind of people that are musical music festival or living on a kibbutz may be sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. And Hamas just go in and say, well, these are Jews, these are Israelis, they're on our land, they all need to die. And that just can't be happening. That's just not going to help anyone long term. And I stand in solidarity with all those people who've been lost in those attacks by Hamas. In the 70s, the Palestinian cause became more radicalised. And again, Israel is on that constant war footing. It develops its military, a lot of support from the US. There's a few local wars, which Israel does well in. And from the 80s on, we've got this increasing Islamisation. And by Islam, we're not talking about like the religion of Islam. We're talking about Islamist governments or potential Islamist governments that want to enforce strict Islamic readings on particular countries and believe in things like suicide bombings. The West, including Britain, tends to be quite pro-Israeli for domestic reasons. Often Jewish voters may identify with support for Israel around the world. Global reasons, the threat of Iran. Many people say that, you know, we back Saudi Arabia against Iran. Iran have got increasing influence in Gaza and in Lebanon and want to go to war with Israel if they can, and we need to be mindful of that. We've also got divide and rule, all the oil, all the essential raw materials that the Middle East provides as well. So there's a lot of dogs in these fights. The UN is basically hamstrung because the US will vote against things on the Security Council if they are not sufficiently pro-Israeli. And I must admit, with this recent set of attacks, I found it very hard to watch. And over the last few years, some of the footage of people being ethnically cleansed from the villages in the West Bank by the Israeli Defence Force, I can't watch them anymore. And all this stuff that's been going on recently, I can't watch it. I just can't watch it because it just really, really upsets me and saddens me. I read about it and I'm a bit more objective from it then, and I'm not seeing all the suffering, but it's really, really got to me. And I found it very upsetting. And the situation on the ground for so many people, they're actually going through it as well. Now, hospital's been bombed over the last few days, and the situation with this may have clarified over the next few weeks or days after you've heard this, but people are saying, oh, it was Israel who bombed a hospital, or Hamas's rocket was, you know, set off and went off in the wrong place. And, you know, people, who cares? There's a war on between two sides that shouldn't be on. And thousands of, over 1,000 Israelis were killed recently in those attacks by Hamas. We all know that there's going to be even more Palestinians killed, innocent civilians, over the next few weeks. And whoever bombed the hospital, everyone's going on, oh yeah, it was Israel, oh yeah, it was. People are dying on the ground. And these kind of like cosmetic kind of moral questions raised by the Western media, oh, we need to be careful on how we report it. Yeah, we do, but there's a situation going on in the ground, and let's be honest, no one really gives a damn. When it comes to the crunch, no one really gives a damn because it's other people far away who are dying. More on that in a minute. Now, Hamas is mixed in with civilians, and they will hide away among civilians and use civilians as shields, but the Gaza Strip is very small. I don't really know what choice Hamas have got. If they all said, oh yeah, we're going to be in this area here and the civilians will be elsewhere, they'll get bombed to smithereens by the Israelis. And it's a bit like saying, oh, like the Viet Cong, why don't they just come out and fight us face to face, etc. during the Vietnam War? They're not going to do that, are they? They're going to be mixed in with civilians. Civilians are getting killed left, right and centre anyway, and civilians are getting ethnically cleansed in the occupied territories anyway, and no one seems to care. The Palestinian Authority in the West Bank and Jerusalem can't match militarily with Israel. And all the while, the ethnic cleansing continues in those occupied territories. Okay? No one cares. It's going on, and no one really cares. And the other big thing amongst all this is this kind of racism and use of the idea of the other. So when all these people are getting ethnically cleansed and when people are getting bombed, civilians, many people will be thinking, oh, the Muslims, the non-white, oh, they're all terrorists, they bring it on themselves. And equally, you'll have many people arguing against Israel, making out that Hamas has not killed any innocent civilians. There'll be lots of anti-Semitism against Jews, people saying, oh, Israel is a state terrorist organisation and they brought all this on themselves. And you get those arguments going on and on and on and on. But I just don't think the Palestinians are in a position to defend themselves. They're only able to do kind of these rare attacks before Israel comes down on them like a ton of bricks. We need peace. We need a two-state solution. And there's a big problem here on the horizon. That's the re-election of Trump, not just in the Ukraine, but in Palestine and in so many other ways, the impact that could have globally, because he knows that in many ways he was shackled, he was naive, he was learning when he was first in power. This time, I think that the gloves will be off. I think he'll just existentially fight to stay in power for as long as he can, Trump. We know what he's done in the past. That could have a big impact on these things. I think peace is as far away as ever in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. It is upsetting. I can't watch it. I feel like no one really cares when it comes to the crunch. And I do feel that when it comes to Israel and Palestine, again, I've read some good books on this through the years. They're just people like anyone else. And I'll finish on that point. But there are some people who say we need a one-state solution where both Palestinian and Israeli peoples live in one state. I don't think that's feasible. A two-state solution may be the only real solution. And you're going to need for that two sides to agree on land, on reparations for loss of land, recognition of both the Palestinians and the Israelis as being independent states. And there's going to need to be bipartisan and international support for a two-state recognised solution. And there's going to be people who are opposed to that in either country or across the Middle Eastern world. And they need to be managed. And ultimately, Palestine needs to be recognised as a state, as an independent state. And it needs to be able to develop a civil society. Because at the moment, the economic conditions on the ground for Palestinians is absolutely appalling. Both Israelis and Palestinians want to live. They want to raise their families. They both deserve better. I think the governments they've got are poor. Yeah, religion is religion, but not extremist religion. That's going to get in the way. We need peace. We need liberty and freedom for people on the ground there. We need elections. We need state recognition. We need economic investment. And those people want opportunity. And they're going to need to be given land. And how we agree that, I don't know. But I just appeal to everyone to see everyone else as a human. Because at the end of the day, we are all human. And that's the only way that we're going to get beyond these kinds of things. I'm just going to finish with what JFK said. Because even though Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, Israel, might elect politicians and might have groups within those societies who don't want peace and oppose peace at all costs, I just want to use the words of JFK for what he said at his inauguration in relation to the Cold War between the USA and the USSR. I won't do the Bostonian accent, but he said, our most basic common link is that we all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we are all mortal.